In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The angel Gabriel came to a young virgin named Mary, as you know. Gabriel means strength of God. You can imagine what kind of creature this angel is. What an imposing figure. And we'll talk about a little bit later. What I want to alert you to is that the infancy narrative for the Holy Virgin and for John the Baptist is in what is called the Proto-Evangelion. Proto means first. Evangelion, as you know, evangelist means the good news. It is an apocryphal work. It is not canonical, but where it does not disagree with the text, we can take that as another witness. And I certainly do, because it sheds light on a number of things. St. Mary was given, as promised by her mother, to the temple when she was weaned. And then it is said that she received her food while in the temple by angels. So an angel appearing to her was not a frightening thing, although the angel in his address to her says, "Do not fear." I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But I don't want you to start off thinking, because I know you all know this story very well. You're very well acquainted with this. I don't want you to start to think that, well, what's Abuna saying and be concerned about that? She was fed by the angels, and she had to leave the temple when, as with the case of all females, she had the change of life from girlhood to womanhood, because you could not have an issue of blood and enter in to the temple. The women would have to stand without at this particular time of the month. So St. Mary left approximately 11 or 12 years of age. This is typically when the change of life takes place amongst women in that part of the world. In some places it's delayed, maybe a year or two. In some places it might come as early as 9 or 10. More towards the equatorial areas. However, whatever it may be, she was fed in a very particular and important way. And it talks very clearly about her lineage. We know almost nothing of St. Mary. You can't find more than a half dozen words that she's spoken. Not literally. I mean, there's the Magnificat, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." That's next week. But there's so precious little information about her. So why do they go to the full extent of speaking about her lineage? And when you start to look at the first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, you find all of the lineage. So-and-so begets so-and-so, so-and-so begets so-and-so, and on and on and on and on, till you come down 14 generations to David, and then you go on and on and on and on, till you find out who begat the Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ that we all worship. But it's important that this lineage be understood. Remember, this was for the Jews. This was for the Jews. It wasn't for us. It wasn't for us. We were grafted into the vine, but the vine and the root is Jewish. And St. Paul says this very clearly. Do not boast, you know, that you have this or you have that, because you can be cut out of the, or pruned and taken away as a branch that doesn't bear fruit. And further, we have in the Gospel of St. John, who was going to be called a son of God? Those who believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, but of God, right? Those who believe on the name of Christ. Believe, my friends, you have to understand that this word comes from the Greek word meaning to have faith. And the faith that we're talking about means trust. Remember what was said about Abraham, that it wasn't because of the works that he performed. It was because he believed, because he had faith, because he trusted. These words all mean the same thing, going back to the original Greek. Believe, faith, trust. If you trust in what the Lord has said, you will be saved. You will be called a son of God, right? So the angel comes in and Jesus rejoice. And there's various translations of this. In the text that we prayed, it says highly favored one, but I like full of grace, because the graciousness of Saint Mary is beyond, it's beyond measure. You know, one of the things, we have an icon, and I don't know if you pay attention to any of the icons in the church. Some of you walk around like dead people, but the ones who are alert to the actual meaning of the artistic symbols, we call them icons because they stand for something and they also point to something. So they are both, you know, a sign and a symbol. And these are what other people have called the door of perception or the window of faith. We have out here Saint Mary, and her hands are like this. And in the middle, where her womb would be, is Jesus Christ. And she's called in Greek Plateia. And why? Because she is whiter than the heavens. Who can contain God? What can contain God? He's bigger than anything. So how does this virgin contain God? This is this an incredible mystery, but it is none the case true. In her resides everything. And so she's not just highly favored. There has to be an elevated aspect of language that takes you beyond that. And you know, against the rules of the church, for example, Father Arsenius always says correctly, Saint Mary, the lady of us all. That's what it says in Coptic. And I never say that, if you pay attention. I say the queen of us all. There has to be some elevated term. There has to be. It doesn't say queen in the Coptic. It doesn't say queen in the English. I could read you the text. It says the lady of us all. But for me, it's insufficient. This is where my whole being shouts. This is why I tell you, when you come into church, you should come in on fire. Maybe all you're capable of being is a glowing ember and not a great flagration. But come in on fire. Be ready to ignite something or have something ignited in you. Don't come like you're a sleepwalker. So the Lord said through his messenger, Gabriel, I'm with you, Holy Virgin, and blessed are you among women. And when it says she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, not his appearance. She was troubled at his saying, not his appearance. Why? She'd been seeing angels since the time she went into the temple. She was used to seeing angels. You know, there are some people, I just heard this today. There is this saint in the Roman Catholic Church called Padre Pio, and he is one to whom the stigmata has been given. That means the wounds of Christ appear on his body, and when he gets finished praying the liturgy, there's blood on his tonia. There's blood, and you can see it. He covers his hands with cloth, and when he takes the gloves off that he wears, there's blood on them, all right? And it is said in a homily that I heard just today that he was seen carrying the Christ child. Now, this is something that is an ecstatic moment. This is not something where, you know, the child is a literal flesh and bones child. It's not a revisitation for the sake of this man, but it is a spiritual thing. And there are many people that have had such things. So it was because of what the portent of the message was going to be that she was troubled in her spirit. Why? From the time that she was given to the temple, she was dedicated to the temple. Her virginity was dedicated to God. How am I going to give forth a child? How will I? I've dedicated my body to Jesus Christ. She didn't know at the time. And she didn't know that this would be the way that the dedication would take place. So as a simple Hebrew girl, to God. To God. I've given myself to God. I am the bride of God. And he said more things that are even further distinguishing the event, because it wasn't going to be like one of the other women in the Old Testament who had been barren, who had then in her old age then given a child. But this child was going to reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there would be no end. Now, what does this mean? Jesus Christ is the living Torah. The Jews love the Torah. Moses ascended to the top of Mount Sinai to receive the 613 laws. The 613 Mosaic laws that we read in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Jesus Christ is the living Torah. Ask an Orthodox Jew how much. You know, an Orthodox Jew will not be next to a Christian priest like me if I'm wearing my cross. Isn't that sound funny to you? Because the cross means I'm an idol worshiper in his mind. I'm an idol worshiper. So he won't even be next to me. The Orthodox rabbi will not sit in a chair where a woman sits. Will not sit in the same chair where a woman sits. He has his own chair in the house. And this is inviolate. It means nobody else goes there. Jesus was given to these people the living word. We call Jesus the word of God because he is the word. All of the words. Every word that is important for salvation in him is constituted. And again, we have a reiteration of what I spoke to you about before. Mary said to the angel, how can this be, all these things that are going to happen? I don't know a man. And she's speaking carnally. Now remember, St. Mary is a peasant girl. And wherever you're born, near a farm, you see the copulation of animals. You know exactly how progeny takes place. It's not, from city dwellers like us, you don't ever see anything, you know, or if you do, you point it out and you kind of laugh and stuff like that. But it was a common thing. You would see, you know, birds and beasts alike. And so... When Jesus said, I do not know a man, it means carnally. And the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. This is that icon. It's the only icon in the history of the Coptic Orthodox Church. It's called the overshadowing icon. Because when I read this line, I said, there has to be an overshadowing. So this strange almond shape is called a mandorla. It's a mandorla. This is the intersection of two circles. You would know that in math. It's a subset, all right? So this is the intersection of two circles. It's the intersection of heaven and earth. And so you have St. Mary. She does not belong there, but Jesus does. And this is why the golden censer, which is where her womb would be, this is emblematic of the pregnancy. The fire inside was a flame, but never consumed or injured her. You understand, the fire the fire of Christ. When I spoke today about people sounding lazy when they were praying, I said, get on fire. Be on fire. The fire inside her, it never went away all those months until she gave forth the son. She is the Ark of the Covenant. She is the Holy Tabernacle. She is the temple. You know, some Orthodox do not call the place of worship, their place of worship, a church. They don't call it a church at all. They call it a temple. I'm going to temple. This is the temple of God. This is the womb of God. We have in the back a baptistry. It is the womb out of which the children are born into the church. So, on another level, how can you be certain of what I've just said? And the angel said, your cousin Elizabeth. My cousin Elizabeth? Yeah, your cousin Elizabeth, who was very old. She's pregnant. The one who was barren has had all of the ill repute removed from her with this. Now Elizabeth was partially ashamed because her pregnancy meant that two old people were joined in the embrace of the marriage act, and it's not seemly. It's not nice. Nobody wants to think of their grandparents as doing that. And she hid herself up until the time that St. Mary came for the visit. I'll talk about that later. But the angel said to her, do you not understand that with God there is not one thing that is impossible? There is not one thing. And St. Mary said the great line, behold the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Do you know how many of us want to have a certainty, a guarantee before we will enter into any contract? You know, I want you to do this for me. And if you do it the right way, you'll be compensated. How long is it going to take? Where do I have to go? How much am I going to get paid? All of these are questions that occur to people like that. She does not know the difficulties that she's going to have. You know, the thing that is so impressive to me is a meditation that we pray about her when she sees her son crucified. My bowels are ablaze. You know this feeling? Your bowels are ablaze. I thankfully have not had that feeling. I have not had that feeling. But can you imagine? Can you imagine having a child that has been like the child that she had? Imagine living with such a child. Imagine the pleasures, the intimate conversations. Imagine just touching him, knowing who he was, and the certainty of the things that were going to follow his maturity. And she had all those things. And then she sees that he becomes as he was. Both priest and sacrifice. He is the one who gives up his life. He says and declares it, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down and I take it up again. I am priest and sacrifice. And he is priest because he's of the tribe of Aaron. And his sacrifice because he came for the propitiation of our sins. He's also king from the Davidic line, King David. She was there in all of these secret moments. And then this was taken from her. It's not sufficient to say her bowels were ablaze. It's insufficient. No matter how much somebody believes, no matter how much any human being believes, the thing that happened to her is greater than our flesh can tolerate. You know, sometimes we hear about people that are martyred, and we give them this name, martyred, because they die at the hands of an infidel. A lot of them were just depressed. How many of you have heard relatives, or maybe you've said it at one time at a low point in your own life, I wish I could just die. I wish I could just die. Well, there was a way to die, honorably. You know, the Japanese have this. I don't know if you're aware of this, but it's an honor to the family to kill yourself for certain things. For example, if you have a loss of face. Face is very important in the Japanese culture, and a loss of face or dignity or pride might be reason for one to commit suicide. As the great writer Mishima, among his books were The Sailor Who Lost Grace from the Sea, or with the sea. The sailor who lost grace with the sea. He committed seppuku, or harakiri. But I imagine that in the life of every adult who raises a child that there's tensions. None of these existed with St. Mary. Her love must have been compounded many times over what any of us have experienced. And then she yielded him to us. However much we praise her, it's not sufficient. You know, the world fell because of Eve, and the world was restored because of Mary, the Holy Virgin. There is nothing that I can say in my words. There's no word that I have that is great enough to describe her. So you will pardon me if I go against the very fine writers of the liturgy text that we pray, and I don't say Lady of us all. I'm going to continue as long as I live to say Queen of us all. She's the best that ever was or ever will be. Glory be to our God and His Holy Mother, both now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen.